this Belshazzar, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first by him being interpretation king of righteousness, and then also king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither the beginning of days nor the end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of his spoils. Verily they that are the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes from the people according to the law, that is, according to their brethren, so they come out of the lines of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him and the prophets. And without contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. Seven verses out of the seventh chapter of the book of Hebrews. Let us pray. Oh God, our Father, today, we are conscious that we have a responsibility upon us as your servant, as the one to reveal the truth to thy people. We pray that you'll take us today and loose our tongue and illuminate our mind, give us holy unction. We pray that all of the satanic forces shall be driven back and that the Spirit of God shall have full sway. Open our hearts. Open our minds. Help us to receive the truth of your book. Father, bless every soul in this building. Bless this church. Bless this pastor. Save those that are lost and revive those of us that are saved. Let there be a mighty moving for Jesus' sake. Amen. I want to talk with you today on one of the most fundamental doctrines of the New Testament. One of the most necessary doctrines of the New Testament. And I want to ask you a couple of questions before I get into the message. First of all, how many of you believe that the Bible is the Word of God from cover to cover? Let me see your hands. All right, thank you. How many of you believe that when we stand before God at the judgment, seek for the righteous. In other words, when we stand before God, matter of fact, in either judgment, that we be judged according to what this book says, not according to what I think, or the preacher thinks, or somebody else thinks, or a theologian thinks. But we'll be judged exactly according to what this Bible teaches. How many of you believe that? Okay. Now don't back up on that. Don't back out. You've made a statement before God and in God's place of worship. I'm going to talk to you this morning, or preach to you this morning, on New Testament teaching on tithing. Now, I know that's going to rub you the wrong way, something. Because as long as you preach salvation by grace and eternal security and a lot of other things, Baptists can clap their hands and all of who we. But when you get on this tithing business, they want to say, oh me. But notice my subject. New Testament teaching on tithing. I read your scripture out of the seventh chapter of the book of Matthew, which is New Testament. I want you to understand in the beginning, my friends, tithing is not paying a preacher. A lot lot of folks talk about, I paid the preacher so much last year. You didn't pay him nothing. Unless you're one of these fellows that slip around, shake hands with him, and leave a quarter, half a dollar in his hand. Don't want to let the right hand know what the left is doing, because neither one of them doing enough that you're not ashamed of them. I want you to understand you don't pay the preacher. God didn't order it like that. God ordered his churches to pay God's men. We stop to recognize, do you not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple? And they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar. Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel shall live of the gospel. That's in the 9th chapter of 1 Corinthians, 13th and 14th verses. They that preach the gospel shall live of the gospel. He that goes out and plants and plows expects to live of the crop. And the ox that treads out the grain must be fed. So as a result, God's ministers, if you please, are to be taken care of by that which comes from the altar. Now a lot of people think the preacher is the thing that they pay when they pay into the church. But let me explain it a little further. You go down here and buy a Greyhound bus ticket. The ticket agent doesn't get that money. The Greyhound bus company gets it. Or you go down to the airport and buy a plane ticket for the American airline. The ticket agent don't get that money. The American airline company gets it. And they in turn pay the pilots to fly and all the crew and pays that agent who collects the money for their ticket. Now, if he gets a taking all of that money, he'll be fired pretty quick. So, my friends, you're not just paying the preacher when you pay into the church of the living Son of God. That's just one item. You put it in the church treasury, and the church in turn pays God's man. And he doesn't receive all of the money. And as a result, you're not paying him. And a lot of people say, well, the preacher gets too much. We get that settled before we start. 1 Corinthians 5th chapter and 17th verse. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double pay, especially those who labor in the word and the doctrine. So you have, if you double the pay, you wouldn't be doing more than God's word said to. So you want those things in your mind straightened out. In other words, you bring it and put it upon God's altar. There's a lot of things to be taken care of in the church of the living Son of God other than the preacher. You've got all of your utilities and all the expenses that operate the church of the Lord. Lots of money involved. So you're just not paying the preacher. Let's get that in our mind. But a lot of people get out of, well, I paid the preacher so much last year. You didn't do no such a thing. You put it in God's church, and God's church took care of it. And God's church is supposed to take care of God's preacher. Now, the first thing I want you to realize this morning is that God owns everything. Genesis 1:1. We'll answer that for you. Look at it. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And then also in the book of Colossians, the first chapter, 16th verse. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and by him all things can be. By him, for him, was all things created. But anything created wasn't his. So God owns everything.
here. By creation. He created it. It's his. The earth and everything else. It's his. He created by him, for him, for him. Keep that in mind. Did it for himself. So it's his. And we stop to realize then, my friends, we are God's but creation. God created you. God created me. We belong to God by creation. And then we belong to God by recreation. You are not your own. You are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God with your body and with your spirit. God recreated us in the new birth, in the act of regeneration. So I not only belong to God because He created me, but you belong to God because of recreation. Then we are a gift to the Father, to the Son. We are God's gift to the Son. We've been given to the Son, we belong to Him. We were created for the Son, therefore we belong to Him. We were regenerated and made a new creature by the Son, so therefore we belong to Him. So God help you to realize that God owns man. Not only the ownership of all creation and ownership of man, but God owns all things. All real estate belongs to God. My house. My property, not so, belongs to God. You say, Purser, I've got a deed to it. Okay, stick with your guns. You said you believe the book. Psalms 24. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein is the Lord's. Now, this deed precedes the other deed. And is recorded for yours got recorded. So God owns the ground you claim to be your property. God owns the house you live in. God owns all of the grounds and the property. That's what the book said. Don't back up now. He owns it. Because he said he did, and he's not going to lie. That he owns all personal property. Look over in the 50th Psalm and the 10th verse. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills is mine. All of the animals is his. Talk about my cows and my beef and my calf and my deer and my dog. No, it all belongs to God. Don't back up now. He said it was his. Stick with it. So as a result, not only that, but my friends, you say, well, I hadn't got in the ground. I hadn't got in the houses. And I hadn't got in a camel. I hadn't got in animals. Okay. He owns something else. I'll break that news to you. He owns also the silver and the gold. Preacher, okay, Haggai, the second chapter. See, I'm sticking with the book. I want you to get it marked this morning. Haggai, the second chapter, the 8th verse. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. Talk about my money. You ain't got it. That belongs to God. You say, well, mine's not silver and gold. Mine's greenback. Greenback ain't none good for gold. Don't back it up. Talk of my bank account. Not your bank account. That's God's. He's letting you use it. He's letting you handle it as one of the stewards, but it's his. Don't back out on me. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, if your money don't belong to God, then God's book lied. You said you believed it was the truth. And if you believe this book is the truth, then you've got to acknowledge all your money belongs to God. You've got to acknowledge all your property. the earth and the fullness there. If you got any minerals there, oil or gas in the earth, that's God. It's all His. Then, my friends, the power to make money comes from God. Look over in the book of Deuteronomy. You find these words in the book of Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, 18th verse. Deuteronomy 8, 18. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get well, that He may establish His covenant, which He sware unto thy fathers as it is this day. God gives you the power to get well. He gives you the talent. He gives you the health and the strength to get the well. Oh, no, preacher. The doctor keeps up my health. No, he doesn't. You go to a doctor, all he can do is give you some medicine to ease your pain and cool your fever to make you run its course. If it don't run the right course, you'll turn your toes up to the daisies. Oh, but I got you that, preacher. I had gallbladder appendicitis, and it had to be operated. Hadn't been for a doctor, I'd have died. That's sure. But hadn't been for God healing up your side, it'd have rotted out and died anyhow. I don't misunderstand. I'm not one of these fools that think you need a doctor. Because when I get hurt bad enough, I want three or four of them around. But when you boil it all down to the final analysis, who gives the doctor the talent to do it? And the skill to do it? So thou shalt remember that it is God that gives thee power to get your wealth. He gave you the talent. He gave you the health. He gave you the strength. So as a result, let's face the reality, ladies and gentlemen. This morning I want you to know that the whole business belongs to God. I'll give you the scripture to back it up. Now then, notice, I've only heard one argument against tithe. Just one. And may I pause to say this, I never have heard anybody that's a tither arguing. It's always some God-robbing, tight-fisted skinflint that don't want to believe it. My friends, if they are tithers, they don't argue. But there's only one argument you've ever heard of. Well, it's in the Old Testament. The way some people talk, you'd seem to think if the doctrine's in the Old Testament, that it's null and void. Truth and principles are not relative, but absolute. To share some talk, you'd think the Old Testament was discarded a long time ago. It's just as much the inspired Word of God as the New Testament. And as a matter of fact, for your information, it was the only scripture that the churches had to go by for a whole generation after Christ's death. All of the New Testament churches during Christ's time and after Christ's death for a generation, all the scripture they had was the Old Testament. And they operated by. Well, let's compare the Old Testament and New Testament. First of all, every important fundamental truth of the New Testament is found in the Old Testament. The whole revelation, the authority of Scripture, tends or falls with the first verse of Genesis. In other words, if a man's wrong on the first, he's wrong all the way through. If these ancestors true, the doctrine of direct creation is untrue. If the doctrine of the first creation is untrue, so is the doctrine of the new creation, the new birth, untrue and unnecessary. If God didn't create you, then He can't recreate you. And my friends, if we sprung from the animal world and we're not the direct creation of God, there's no need for a recreation or a new birth. So in the beginning, God created. In the beginning of your spiritual life, God recreated. And without creation and without the recreation, my friends, so as a result, all of your creation comes forth out of the Old Testament. And Paul could not discuss the person of Christ without discussing it in revelation to the doctrine of creation. Back to the Colossian letter. By Him and for Him was all things created. And without Him was not anything created. marriage, its sanctity, its nature, and character taught both in the Old and the New. Same thing taught in the New Testament about marriage and the sanctity of it as it was in the Old Testament. The doctrine of the Sabbath day, the seventh day of the Old Testament, the first day of the New Testament, comes from the Old Testament. Not a word in the New Testament about the observance of the first day of the week. Only a statement they meant to break bread. The principles is the same. The seventh day of the Old Testament commemorates the finished work of creation. And the first day of the New Testament commemorates the resurrection. But my friends, you remember this, that out of the Old Testament comes the fact of how respectable Lord's Day. They had the Sabbath day, which commemorated the finished work of God. We have the first day of the week, which commemorates the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, which finished our redemption. Also the Ten Commandments, the moral principles, were true centuries before they were handed down at Sinai. Every one of the moral principles is true before there's ever written and handed down. All the doctrines of redemption are found in the Old Testament. The doctrine of grace. For by grace are you saved. In the book of Ephesians. Genesis 6:8. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Same kind of grace that we find when for by grace through faith we're saved. Genesis 18:19 tells us that the people found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Same kind of grace that you and I found when we accepted Christ and were saved. It's the same grace found in the New Testament. All the way through, grace, grace, grace. In the Old and the New. The doctrine of atonement is the very backbone of the Old Testament. So my friends, what are you trying to do, preacher? Show that a thing is just as true if it's found in the Old Testament as if it's found in the New. And that every fundamental truth of the New Testament is found in the Old. What is found in the Old Testament that's not found in the New? Their ceremonial law. All the moral laws of the Old Testament still in force today, none of them's been changed. Only thing that changed was the ceremonial law, which was no longer necessary after the crucifixion. Now then, let's look in then, my friends, at the doctrine concerning tithe. It belongs both to the Old Testament and the New Testament. Abraham, my friends, paid tithe 400 years before the law was ever given. So it is not the law. A lot of folks say tithe and it's law. I beg your pardon. Abraham paid tithes 400 years before the law was given. God said in Leviticus, turn over and read it, Leviticus 27th chapter. I want you to mark this. All the tithe of the land, whether the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord. It is holy unto the Lord. If any man will at all redeem aught of his tithe, he shall add thereto the fifth part thereof. Concern the tithe of the herd or of the flock, even whatsoever passes under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. So, my friends, the tithe is the Lord's. That is not a law. That is not a command. That's a statement of truth. This is pressure-raised glasses. No law, no commandment, statement of truth. This is Calvary Hill Baptist Church's organ. No law, no commandment is a statement of truth. And he said, all of the tithe, whether the seed of the land, what of the herd, or whatsoever passes under the rod, which becomes your possession. In other words, whatever becomes your possession is the Lord's. And it's holy unto the Lord. How much? A-double-L. All. Now, there's no law to that. That's a statement of truth. And I dare you and challenge you, anybody, to show me where God ever relinquished his title to. He said it's his, and it is holy. And if you'll show me where God ever relinquished that statement, I'll apologize. As a result, my friends, God said the tithe is the Lord's. You need to realize you'll search the scripture in vain and God never relinquishes his title to it. You say, oh, but Jesus. Yeah, I know what Jesus said. A bunch of... You know what he said about tithing? He said the folks going to hell ought to tithe. They come said we paid a tithe of mint and anise and cumin. Jesus said this you ought to have done. Not to let these other things undone. The emphasis on this you ought to have done, which is when he said to Nicodemus, you must be born again or you cannot see the kingdom. You must be or you can't get in. You ought to tithe. The emphasis on ought to tithe. Now he said they were hypocrites, whitewashed, graveyard full of dead men's bones, generation of vipers and snakes. Your damnation from above. You're going to hell, but you ought to tithe. The meanest, cussing people on the face of earth ought to tithe. Walking on God's earth, eating God's food, wearing God's clothes, living off of God's property. You are a tithe. You may be as mean as a devil and as rotten as sin can make you. You still are a tithe. You're going to hell. You still are a tithe, Jesus said. You are a tithe. Because you owe it to the God who let you breathe and walk and live. Eat. Now that's what Jesus said, not what your little figure said. That's what Jesus said. You ought to do it. And my friends, now look at the text, you'll see that the doctrine of the tithe is not relative but absolute. That it's not only in the Old Testament, but also in the New Testament. When Abraham paid tithes, he paid tithes to Christ. He paid tithes to the King of Righteousness. He paid tithes to the King of Peace. He paid tithes to the eternal priest without father, without mother, without the beginning of days and the end of days. That couldn't have been nobody but Jesus. Therefore, he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham. Who received tithes? Jesus did it. And Abraham paid tithes, if it pleased my friends, 400 years before the law was ever given. So it's not under the law. Christ paid tithes. Let me tell you something else. The priest could not go into the Holy of Holies until he paid tithes. Three things before a priest could go in the Holy of Holies. Number one, 7 days of consecration, separation. Number two, he had to pay a tithe of all of his increase. Number three, he had to wear white, pure white linen breeches. And as a result, when he went in there, they had a rope tied to him. Nobody could get in there except the high priest. And if he went in there without meeting those three requirements, God'd kill him. And so they couldn't push the curtain back and get him in, get him out of that. So he had a rope tied to him so God'd kill him. They could drag him out. A lot of time we wonder why God don't answer our prayers. We can't get into the Holy of Holies without prayers. Maybe you're robbing God. But this thing is sacred to God. My friends, we stop and realize it belongs both to the old and the new. There's nothing haphazard or taken for granted in the Word of God. When God speaks, that settles it. God never gives a commandment without telling how He wants a thing done. Did He leave it to Noah to how to build the ark? Did He leave it to Moses as how to build the tabernacle? Did He leave it to man as how to baptize? Did He leave it to man as what to use in the observance of the Lord's Supper? Did He leave it to men how to be saved? No. I say, therefore, there's nothing haphazard or incomplete or unfinished truth in the Bible. The Trinity is fixed. The Holy Bible is fixed. The new birth is fixed. Salvation by grace is fixed. Baptism is fixed. The Lord's Supper is fixed. The judgment is fixed. The end of this age is fixed. The second coming of Christ is fixed. And God's plan of financing His kingdom and His church is fixed as much as the rest of it. The law of the Lord is perfect. And where there is no law, there is no transgression. Romans 4:15. I call your attention to this quotation that is from the New Testament. Some would say there is no law given, that is left to the individual to decide what he shall do. If that be true, then one cannot possibly go wrong in this matter. Others say Christ fulfilled the law. How did he fulfill it? Now, a lot of folks say, I don't owe a tithe. Tithing's under the law, and Christ fulfilled it. Well, I told you tithing wasn't under the law. The tithe is the Lord. It's wholly under the Lord, and it's not under the law. But in case you'd like to drag it under there, for argument's sake, we'll put it under there, maybe. Suppose you put tithing under the law. Then Christ fulfilled the law. How did he do it? He said, if it hits you on one cheek, turn the other one. Say, make it go 1 mile, go 2. Say, get your coat, give me a coat. How did he fulfill it? By doubling everything. You put tithing under the law, and you owe God 20%. Go ahead and put it on that, but bring 20% when you do. I imagine church can use it. Just go ahead and shout to the Lord. Automatically owe God 20% if it is. Because that's the way he fulfilled it. He doubled everything. And if you put it under his law, he'll double it and you'll owe God 20%. I'm sure the church could use it. So if you are in front of the law, instead of bringing 10, buddy, you owe 20. I want you to realize, then, my friends, there's some things we must face. And that is, the tithe is the Lord, and hey, if you even borrow the tithe, you owe God 20% interest. You can borrow money to bank, you borrow God. He said, if you use the tithe, you shall add a fifth thereto, which means 20%. So when you start borrowing God's tithe, you owe God 20% more. You say, well, who are we to give the tithe? Let the Word of God answer. Genesis 28:22. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. All right, again look in the Proverbs, the 3rd chapter, and the 9th verse. Proverbs 3:9, honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy pieces, thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Then look in Malachi, the 3rd chapter. We'll find there, my friends, Malachi, the 3rd chapter, 8th verse. Will a man rob God? Yet you've robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? in tithes and offerings. In tithes and offerings. So, my friend, the tithe belongs to the Lord, not to the preacher, not to something else. It belongs to the Lord. What are we to do with our tithe? What is the commandment of it as to what to do with it? Look in the 10th verse, 3rd chapter of Malachi. Bring ye some of it. Bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. How much? Bring ye all of the tithe. Not send some of it to someone else. Not give some of it to charity. Not that someone shall go out and collect it. Take a corkscrew and twist it out of it. Bring ye! Ladies and gentlemen, he didn't say send it! Now you got a lot of these radio preachers stand up and say, send me your tithe and God will bless you. He's a dirty liar. God hadn't said no such a thing. I challenge all of the theologians and radio preachers in this country to show me where God ever said, send it to him. He said, bring ye how much? All of the tithe. He didn't say, send it. He didn't say, let somebody come out and collect it. He said, bring it. Upon the first day of every week, let everybody lay by in store according as God is prospering. There it is. So, my friends, that's what it said. Bring ye, my friends, how much of the tithe shall I bring? Bring you all the tithe, or the whole tithe. Where? Into the storehouse. Not give some of it to church, some to charity. Some to help your people. Some to help poor folks. He said, bring it all. Then listen to Deuteronomy, the 26th chapter. And it shall be when thou art come to the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance, possess it and dwellest therein, that thou shalt take of the first of all the fruit of the earth which thou shalt bring of the land that the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shalt put it in a basket, and shall go to the place where the Lord thy God hath chosen to place his name there. And thou shalt go unto the priest that shall be in those days, and say unto him, I profess this day unto the Lord thy God, that I have come unto the country which the Lord sware unto our fathers for to give us. And the priest shall take the basket out of thine hand, and set it down before the altar of the Lord thy God, and dedicate it to God. What is it? Here's what it said. You shall put it in a basket. You shall put it in a basket. And do what with it? Take it to the house of the Lord and give it to the priest and let him set it upon the altar and dedicate it to God. Now you didn't know that was in that lady. He wondered why the collection plate and basket's coming around. God said, go to the house of the Lord. Put your tithe in a basket. Take it to the priest and let him set it upon the altar. Dedicate it to God. Now, he didn't say send it to somebody. He said bring it to the house of God and put it in a basket and put it on the altar. Let it dedicate. Now, how's these radio preachers going to put all that stuff? Some of you have a long ways to go. And he'll have to find him for something besides his radio station for an altar. Now, don't misunderstand me, dear friends. I'm not condemning the radio preachers. Bless their hearts. I hope every one of them can stand there. But you got no right to rob God to keep him on the air. Give them some of your 90 cents. Give them all of it if you want to, but don't steal from God. For example, I got no right to steal money out of this fellow's pocket to give to that preacher, have I? What have I got to steal $10 off him and give it to Larry? You say that wouldn't be right? Well, quit stealing God's money off of his altar and giving it to a bunch of preachers in charity and the red feathers and red crosses and what have you. Now we're getting down where we live at, ain't we? But I want you to know one thing. Sending your tithe off to preachers and charity organizations is not tithe, and that's robbing God. I want you to know it this morning. Where the tithe into the storehouse? I'll give some of the charity and some of the help poor folks. Why? Why bring it here? That they may be meat in my house. That they may be meat in my house. Why? All right. Let me get it down to you. Break it down where you can get it. Here's Brother Rapp Gossett. He's down sick. And I'd take $20 of tithe money down there and give it to Rapp. Neighbors come and said, look here what Brother Ray did. Isn't Brother Ray wonderful? God never got any recognition out of it. Hush your easy. Or if I go down here and give it to the Community Chest, or Red Feathers, or the United Fund, and folks go out there, and the United Fund give them some food and clothes, they say, look what the United Fund did. Look what the Red Feather did. God never got considered. But if I bring my tithe down here and put it in the treasure on the altar, Brother Ralph's down sick. The deacons go out and see he's got a need. Come back and take the need and meet. Neighbors come in and said, look here what Calvary Hill Church did for me. Isn't the Lord wonderful? You get the difference? Let it soak them in. It isn't what the Red Feather, the Red Cross, or the United Crowd, or some neighbor did. It's what the church did. That there may be me in my house, that my church may get the glory, that my church may be honored, that my church might be recognized. I'm not telling you, don't go in and say, I said, hard to support preachers on the radio. You should support them. But take some of your 90 cents to do it. Don't you steal God's tithe and send it off to anybody. Your tithe belongs in a basket on God's altar. Bring you all of it. Not part of it. Send some of it. No, God said, bring you all of it. First day of the week, get there with it. We're talking about New Testament tithe. My friends, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store. Why give the tithe anyhow? Because it dishonors the Lord to go out putting on money-raising campaigns, rummage sales, and bacon sales, and cakewalks, and what have you. See a lot of churches going out here having quilt riflings and cakewalks, and all kind of rummage sales and everything else, raising money. That's a black eye to the kingdom of God. When we have to go out and go up and down the street and bag money for the church, we put God the Lord on a crutch. Saying, I'm gone broke, I've become a pauper. Help us. Help us. Down at the church, we can't make ends meet. Help us, will you? Buy some of our rummage. Buy some of our chicken supper. Buy some of our meat suppers. Buy some of our quilts. By chance, our church can't make it. We're having to get some help on the side. What an insult to the Holy God of him. You put him on the crutch as a beggar, and he owns everything in this universe. Reason he wants his tithe in his church so she'll not have to be a beggar. Let's face truth, folks. Not only that. Why give the tithe? Because we need the blessings that come from partnership with God. Test it in the way you will. Test it in the way you will. Every time you want to, test it in the way you will. I stand on the word of God to declare to you before God without being afraid that 9/10 plus God's blessings will go further than 10/10 with God's cursing on it. I stand to tell you to put your tithe on God's altar, all of it, and bring it and put it on God's altar and dedicate it to God. That'll go farther than your 10/10 will go. I'm not afraid to stand up and say it. I'm not afraid to declare it, my friends. Some say I can't afford to tithe. I say if you believe the word of God, you cannot afford not to tithe. The joy it brings to hear him say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Hey, listen. He said, if you're faithful over the few things I give you to do, I'll make you ruler over many things. You know, my friends, what it is? One of the things he give us to do is to bring a tithe. You hear this Baptist preacher this morning? If you don't bring that tithe and you take it and use it for yourself and don't bring it and give it to God, let me tell you a little secret. When you get up to glory, you will never hear the Lord say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You come in, he'll say, come on in, you thief, sit down over there. You have not been faithful over you. And for your information, if you're a God robber, and don't put your tithe on God's altar, you will never reign and rule in any place in God's kingdom. You will be dishonest with God and cheat God. Then let me tell you something, my friend. God will never let you rule his business. Now face reality this morning. Then I want you to realize something else, my friends. The joy it brings. You hear him say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Brings rewards. Notice what he said there. Let me read it to you. We're still in the book. I'm going to stay in it. Listen to the word of God. There in the book of Proverbs, the 3rd chapter. That I read to you. Honor the Lord with the substance, with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty. And thy presses shall burst out with plenty. All right, look in Malachi again. The 3rd chapter of Malachi. Listen. Bring you all the tithe, and I will open up the windows of heaven, pour you out blessings, not room enough to receive. I'll rebuke the devourer, and they shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. And all the nations shall call you blessed. What? Try me, prove me, saith the Lord. Put me on the test and see if I don't open up the windows of heaven and pull you out blessings, not room enough to receive. I tell you, my friends, the 9/10 is going to go so much further than the 10/10. God help you to realize it tonight, today. And we must give an account. He said, he that soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. He that soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. Hear the word of God. Honor the Lord with the substance, with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty. Bring you all the tithe and storehouse, prove me herewith. I'll not open the windows of heaven. Pour you out blessings, so there shall not be room enough to receive. Whether they have material prosperity or not, they have spiritual prosperity. Our trouble is, we make our interest first and God secondary. We will have none of it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all of these things shall be added unto it. Oh, if we only believed that. If for once, just once in our whole existence, we would stop and think of the grace of our Lord Jesus giving himself, setting us an example, the whole question of giving would be settled forever. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that you through his poverty might be rich. Gratitude alone should prompt us. If you want joy, if you want blessings, if you want power, if you want victory, bring all the whole tithe into the storehouse. through me herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. I'll not open you the windows of heaven, pull you out blessings, but there shall not be room enough to receive it. Shall we go on hunting some frivolous excuse, disobeying God, parading our lack of faith in his promises, letting his fame and his call trail in the dirt behind us? Or shall we step out by faith and claim his promises? Then what does it cost to rob God? What does it cost to rob God? You're cursed with a curse if you rob God. Cursed with a curse if you rob God. No, you're not going to be. You're done off. When you fool with God's tithe, there's a curse already on you. Not going to be put on you. You're done here. I want you to know, my friends, God has set up a tithe to operate his kingdom like this. When a soldier volunteers to go fight for us, Uncle Sam said, you go on, give up your business. We'll feed you and clothe you and shelter you and take care of your dependents. And he goes to battle for us. He can't operate a business. He can't do that. He goes to battle. And Uncle Sam puts an income tax on me and you and put other taxes to keep that soldier and his family together. And they don't ask you whether you want to pay it or not. If you don't pay it, they haul you away to penitentiary. I had a preacher friend that was rather smart aleck. He said, I'm not going to pay no income tax. A couple of gentlemen rolled up to his house with guns hanging on the hip and a club on the other and said, are you Reverend so-and-so? Said, yeah. Said, you've evaded $2,000 of income tax and we've been sent to take you to Atlanta to the federal thing. He said, I don't believe in paying income tax. I'm a preacher. I'm this, I'm that. Said, we're not. Listen to what you don't believe and what you think. Said, we got a warrant. And he said, and the gun said, yes, sir. And one of them pulled his handcuffs off and said, we'll fix you where you go. Said, you take me away from my church and my wife and little children crying. Said, that don't bother us. We come to you too. He said, fellas, if you give me about 10 minutes, I'll get up that $2,000. I don't want to go. Now listen, you pay Uncle Sam his taxes, they in turn keep up our governments, and our soldiers, and our navies, and our armies and marines. God Almighty put a tax of 10% on all of us. Keep his kingdom going. And he's not going to make an exception out of you. You rob God and you're going to be cursed with a curse. Over Osceola, Arkansas, in a meeting, the man come and said to me, Brother Ray, would you go out to my home with me? I said, yes. Went out to the home with him, said, would you mind going down to the barn with me? I said, not at all. Went down to the barn. Opened up a stable and said, see that dead horse? I said, yeah. He said, I owe $300 tithe. And I didn't pay it. Said, I was offered $300 for that horse. $100 bills Saturday afternoon. Come down here, one there this day. Said, that's the amount of my tithe. Said, now, preacher, what I want to know, can I count that my tithe? Trying to pack a dead horse off on God? You say, well, that's here, Norton. Some of you are saying, well, I've got my hospital bills and some debts to pay. And that ought to be my tithe. Nothing satisfies God except that tithe in the basket on his altar dedicated to him. And until you put it there, you're cursed with a curse. My dear precious people, I didn't realize this in my early ministry. I let a lot of people be cursed because they didn't bring God's tithe. One day, one place where I was pastoring one of the finest old couples I ever met in my life. They're just the finest. Just as fine as they be. Both of them got bedridden. Every time I'd go visit, they'd lay there and cry and say, "Preacher, why'd God do this to us?" I said, "I don't know." Said, "We've never drank any alcoholic beverage. We've never danced. We've never seen a picture show. We've never gone to anything except to the church all our lives." "Why?" "I don't know. I can't figure." They asked me that so many times when I went home one day and shut myself up in the room, and I said, "I'm going to stay here till I find out." I got on my face before God, and he said, "Son, go and ask them if they've tithed." If they haven't, you have the answer. I went back and they said, "Preacher, why has this happened?" I said, "Have you tithed?" "Why, brother, you know we've always given church." I said, "I didn't say that." I said, "Have you tithed?" "Why, sometime we've given more than tithed." I said, "All time, though." The woman started crying and said to her husband, said, "Don't lie to the pusher, we ain't another tithe." I said, "Then God told me to tell you, this curse is on you because you've robbed me." Then I got shook up. I went back and preached to every church I'd been pastor of on tithe, except one. And it looked like I couldn't get back there, and I said, "God, let me get there somewhere." One day the pastor called up and said, "We're having a homecoming celebration. Would you come?" I said, "Yeah, I'll come." And they're having a homecoming. I preached on tithe. Got my hands clean. Woo. You hear me? The preacher don't preach on tithe. God puts a curse on you. The blood's on him for not doing it. Wherever I go, I preach it. I don't want your blood on me. You see, you're cursed with a curse because you've robbed God of a tithe. He don't have to put it on you when it first does. See, you're not going nowhere. You won't be when God gets there. So God don't ever have to get in no hurry. But if you're robbing God, you can rest assured of one thing. Illustrate what I'm saying. Used to be an old grist mill in the town. Everybody take a sack of corn up and set it down. Set the sacks of corn along there. Had while the mill would crank up and grind the corn into meal. One fellow come in one day and said, "I'm in an awful hurry. Set my sack of fence down first." He said, "Not do it. Sit back there and take your turn. We'll get to it." Had while the mill had cranked up, he ground everybody's turn. And he got his and ground his. Now there's so many people robbing God, he's behind with the grind. But don't you worry, he'll get your little sack after a while. I was with a pastor the other day, and we was visiting somebody had been requested he visit. While he said, he found out one of his own men's in the hospital. Said, "Let's go by and see this member of mine." He went and said, "Fellow, what you doing here?" Said, "Pastor, I'm getting my tithe cut out." Yeah! My friends, if you pay some when it comes due, that's all you owe. But if you have to have it collect, you pay a collector's fee. All the tithes the Lord can bring it and put it there when it belongs there, that's all. But hey, want to tell you one thing, if God has to collect it, he'll get it with a loss of property, hospital bills, funeral homes, loss of jobs. It brings a curse. Famine and hard times come. The Lord's house goes in ruin. When a church is robbing God, the house of God isn't taken care of. And the preachers are driven to other fields of work. You say, "Preacher, you think a preacher ought to leave because they don't pay him?" That's what God said. Said you go to a place they don't take care of you, shake and dust your feet off and keep it going. Somebody, one of the first churches I ever pastored, everybody in there was tithers, and a lot of them would do without things to bring money to keep the church going. Next church I took had a lot of wealth in it. One fella drew $1,500 a month, and he'd put a dime in every Sunday. Another one drawing about $12,000 a year, he'd put a nickel in. I preached there a year, and they had an annual call. And when they come time to elect a preacher, they elected me back first time in 50 years the church had been there. Everybody voted for the same preacher. Deacon come out and said, "You ought to feel highly honored." I said, why? Said, everybody in church for the first time voted for the same man. You out, Pastor. I said, I'm sorry, I'll be going. I said, what's the matter? I said, you ain't got sense enough to find out, you'll know later. They're robbing God, and I didn't have to say that. Now the other church ought to got on my stomach and crawled them like that. Like some time ago, a pulpit committee came up and said, Brother A, you all over the nation in meetings, and you know preachers by the hundreds. I said, that's right. Said, we're looking for a pastor. Could you recommend one to it? I said, sure. I said, how much do you pay? Said, we give him whatever the offering is. I said, what kind of preacher are you looking for? Said, well, we want one of enough education he won't call the 23rd Psalm the 23rd Psalm. And I said, well, how much you pay? Said, whatever we take up. I said, how much you take up? Said, sometimes $3.95 and $85 or sometimes $5 and a quarter, $5 and a half, sometime to get up to $6. I said, no, sir. I don't know where you can get anything but a pensum preacher for $6 a Sunday. Shabby pastors can't pay their obligations because the church is robbing God. Grip on the young people is lost. Spiritual Sodom. God won't pour out his blessings on a God-robbing crowd. Eternal hell for the multitudes. And the death of heartfelt religion. You can't enjoy your religion when you're robbing God. You can't enjoy your religion. You say, well, Mr. Ray, I'm in debt. I owe a lot of money. I'm in debt. Because he owes $100. He has no right to steal out of Gossett's pocket to pay his debt. Has he? Because he owes $100, he's go over here and steal out of Gossett to pay on his debt. What right has he? All right, because you owe a debt, you have no right to steal out of God's altar to pay your debts. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. The first fruits. The first fruits, God said. Now, friends, my hands is clear. I've told you in the light of the book that your tithe belongs in a basket on God's altar the first day of the week. Not to send it off or put it in some charity organization. But it's to be here that there might be meat in God's house. Last Sunday, something happened here in this church. Rather embarrassing, but I'm going to tell it. Don't you think I ought to? One of the ushers saw a fella take nine, put in a dollar, and took out $9 as if he put in ten. Yeah, in Calvary Hill Baptist Church during the morning worship. Preacher, you mistake. No, he saw it. Saw a fella put in a dollar and take out nine. I hear in the morning worship. And I know who it was. I'm a good mind test. You don't want to be told. I know it'll be embarrassing. Right in the church of the scene. I don't know who did it. I'm going to tell who it was. It's the fella that when the offering plate come by, he got $10. He pulled out one and pushed the other back in and stuck it in his pocket. That's who it was. You stole $9 out of God's offering plate. What you do? Say, you pull that roll of money up there, pulled out a dollar, stuck the other nine back in your pocket. It belonged in God's offering. You just put in a dollar, you took out nine. That's what you done. Now you face the truth. As sure as God sits on the throne, you're cursed with a curse because you've robbed God of a tithe. I don't care who you are, how rich you are, how poor you are, how ignorant, how young or how old. You all got a tithe. And if you don't do it, God's going to curse you with a curse. Oh, he hadn't cursed me. I hadn't tithed. I hadn't been cursed. Don't get scared. You ain't gone nowhere. He won't be waiting when you get there. Hospital bills, doctor bills, loss of job, sickness, loss of property. God ain't gonna lie. Hey, God can't lie. He said you're cursed with a curse because you've robbed God. Ladies and gentlemen, if God don't curse you when you rob God of a tithe, he's the biggest liar that ever spoke. He said you're cursed with a curse because you've robbed God. Then if you're not cursed, then God's lie. Now the blood's off my hands. You can do that tithe what you want to. But I delivered my soul. And I delivered everywhere I go. Because I know there's a bunch of folks bedridden and eat up with cancers and a lot of other things. Because they've been robbing God. Hospital bills, doctor bills, funeral bills, because they've been robbing God. And I'm not saying that everybody that has those experiences are robbing God by any means. But I won't tell you one thing, God never hit you or licked you if nobody's hitting you. And you just face it, my friend, the tithe is the Lord's. And it is holy unto the Lord. Bring it and put it in a basket and set it on the altar. Dedicate it to God. I'll start opening up the windows of heaven. Pour it out.